Welcome back, everybody. Tell me, do you want me to turn up the Daf Tzadi Zayin Amar Aleph 97a? And we're on the top of Daf Tzadi Zayin Amar Aleph. So we ended yesterday with a discussion about who the Mekoshesh was and what sin did the Mekoshesh do that warranted his Misa. And we suggested maybe that it was Tzlafchan, which led to a whole discussion between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether this is true or not and whether you are in trouble for saying this or not. Do we learn out certain types of Gzeirah Shavas or not, which led us to a discussion about Aaron getting Saras? Did that happen? Which now leads us into a bit of a different discussion about Moshe and being Choshed B'Kshirim. So it says the Gemara, Amar Reish Lakish, HaChoshed B'Kshirim Loka B'Gufo. So someone who is Choshed B'Kshirim, meaning they accuse innocent people of doing bad things, they are going to be punished in their body, meaning they are going to get physically harmed. Because the Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling to Hashem, then I can go to Mitzrayim and try to do whatever I want, but the Jewish people aren't going to be with me. But Hashem knew that the Jewish people would believe in the prophecy of Moshe. Amar lo, so Hashem said to him, no, the Jewish people, they are ma'amina b'nei ma'amina, they are believers, the children of believers, and you are ultimately going to have a failure in terms of emuna. What does this mean? Hey, ma'aminim disivayam me'na'am. So they are believers because the pasuk says that the people believed. B'nei ma'aminim, how do we know that they are children of ma'aminim? V'hem min ba'ashem. Because by Avram Avinu it says, and he believed in Hashem when he was told that he's going to have all these children. Ata insof chalahamin, but you ultimately will fail to believe. Shenem aryan lo ha'amantim bi v'gomer, because when it talks about Moshe and Aaron, by the Me'meriva, it says, because you did not believe in me. So this was the payback, I guess, that Hashem was telling Moshe about. Mimai delaka, so that's true that maybe he was wrong, but how do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was actually physically harmed? Because it says in the Pasuk that Hashem said to Moshe, bring your hand to your body, and he brought his hand, and there was Tzaras there, so we see that Moshe got some sort of Tzaras, so we see he was punished bigufo. Now says the Gemara, another lesson we learn from these Pesukim. Amar Rava, V'itema, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Mi datova maharas lava mimidas peranos. Says the Gemara, when Hashem wants to do good things, that happens right away, but bad things are delayed. So good things happen in a way that is more quick than the bad things. Why would this be? So many of the Mefarshim point out, because Hashem doesn't want to do bad things. So he gives the person a chance to do tshuva, but for good things, he wants that to be done right away, so he does it right away. How do we know this, though? Because when it's talking about the punishment, it says that he took his hand and it was stricken with tzaras, but the implication from this pasuk is that his hand did not get tzaras until after he took it away from his body. But when the good stuff is happening, because when he removed his hand from where it was, when he put it back into his body, then it was back to normal and the tzaras was gone. So we see that the tzaras was removed quicker than it came. So it was already removed from him, the tzaras was already removed from him once it was already separated from his body. So we see that the good thing came before the bad thing. Now the Gemara has another agadic statement. When Moshe and Aaron went down and did the sign for Paro and the people to show that we are for real and we are going to take the Jewish people out, so they took the stick and turned it into a snake, and then it ate the other snakes. So says the Gemara, though, Amar Abelazar Neis Besot Neis. Really, there was another miracle, a miracle within a miracle over here, that the snake went back into a stick, and then the stick of Aaron ate the sticks of the Mitzrim. So we see there was an even bigger miracle, that it wasn't just the snakes ate the snakes, rather the stick ate the stick. Good. Now we get back into the halachic part of the Gemara. So again, in our Mishnah, we said that if someone goes from Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, with a Rishus HaRabin in between, so there was a machlokas, where Rabbi Akiva says you're going to be chayiv, and the Chachamim say you're going to be potter. So we're going to try to figure out what this machlokas is really all about. So by Rabba, so Rabba asked a question. Do we say that this machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan is under 10 tfachim, when it's under 10 tfachim from the ground, meaning that it's under 10 tfachim within the Rishus HaRabim. Uvahapuigin, this is really what they're arguing about. Tamar Savaram Mininan Kluta Kamacha Huncha, and Rabbi Akiva would hold that when something goes through the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, it's as if it actually stopped in Rishus HaRabim. And the reason why you're going to be chayiv is because now when you're throwing from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, with the Rishus HaRabim in between, it's as if you threw it from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, you stopped, you picked it up, you threw it from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid, and that's why you're going to be chayiv, because Rabbi Akiva holds Kluta Kimash Huncha Dami. Umar Savar Lo Amin Kluta Kimash Huncha. But the Rabbana would hold that we do not say that something which passes through the airspace of something is legally viewed as if it rested there, and therefore you are going to be pater. But this whole machlokas would be within 10 tfachim of the ground. However, but when the case where we are above 10 tfachim, because Rishus HaRabim ends at 10 tfachim, divrei akol pater, everyone agrees that you would be pater in that situation because it's not considered Rishus HaRabim. V'lo yafinan zorik mimoshin. That's only going to be true when we talk about throwing something, but in terms of passing something, we know that if you pass something over 10 tfachim within Rishus HaRabim, it's still going to be chayv, because that's what the Bnei Kehas did, that's what they did in the Mishkan, and we know we learned everything out from the Mishkan. So we would not compare passing and throwing, and therefore you'd be certainly pater if you threw something above 10 tfachim from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid with the Rishus HaRabim in between. So that's one way to go ahead and understand the Machlokas. Odilma, or maybe the Machlokas is really as follows. So Malam Asar Pligi, they argue in a case where it was passed above 10 Tfachim of HaPligi. Demar Savar Yavafinan Zorek Mimoshe, Demar Savar Yavafinan Zorek Mimoshe. Really, they argue above 10 Tfachim, and the Machlokas is whether we compare throwing to passing, because passing, again, we know is chayv even above 10 Tfachim, but throwing would be the Machlokas of Alamatam Asar. But when we're talking about a case where it's below 10 Tfachim in the Rishus HaRabim, Divrei HaKol Chayv, then everyone would say you're going to be chayv. My time, well, why would someone be chayv? Because when you throw something in the airspace of something else, then it says if it rested there, and if it's within 10 tefachim, then it's in the Rishus HaRabim, and then you would be chayv. But everyone agrees to this concept of klut k'mishun chadami, and the only machlokas is whether we compare throwing to passing, and the whole machlokas is above 10 tefachim. So which one is it? So says the Gemara of Rav Yosef, Rav Chista, we ask this question, Rav Chista, Pashtu ne'ale, Rav Hamnuna mehad, Rav Hamnuna answered it from the following brisa. Rabbi Akiva mechayv v'chacham pochim. So the brisa says that if someone passes something or transfers something from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid through the Rishus HaRabim Atzma itself, so then Rabbi Akiva says that you're going to be chayv, and the chachamim say you're going to be pater. Now the Gemara comes with the proof. From the fact that we said Rishus HaRabim Atzma itself, so it sounds pshita l'matam yasar pligi. It sounds very clear that the machlokes is within 10 tefachim, because we wouldn't refer to something above 10 tefachim where Rishus HaRabim ends as Rishus HaRabim Atzma. We would only call it Atzma if it's within 10 tefachim, and we see that that's where the machlokes is. Uvemai, and therefore, what would they be arguing about? Ilema b'mavir, if you're going to tell me that we're talking about someone who just carries it from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid going through Rishus HaRabim, l'matam yasar hu d'mechayev. Could it really be that you're only going to be chayef if it's under 10 tefachim, but not if it's over 10 tefachim? Is that really possible? But Rabbi Elazar tells us that someone who carries out a load from rishus to rishus while keeping it above 10 tefachim, since you're carrying it, you are going to be chayef, because the family of kahas would carry in this way. So therefore, the case that they're arguing about can't be a case of they're just carrying it through. Elav bezorik, rather, it seems like this is a case of zrika, where they're throwing it. And the only time that they would potentially be chayiv is if we're talking about lamata me'asara, but seems if it's above 10 tefachim, then you would not be chayiv shema minah, beklut k'mashuncha pligi. So what seems to come out from here is that they argue within 10 tefachim, which means that they're arguing about this concept of klut k'mashuncha dami, whether we compare the airspace as if it's actually resting there when something passes through the airspace. That's what they seem to be arguing about, shema minah. Rav Hamnuna concludes that this seems to be what they are arguing about. It says the Gemara, though, pligit Rebbe Elazar. This explanation goes against the sheet of Rebbe Elazar. Why dumb Rebbe Elazar? Because Rebbe Elazar says Mechayev Haya Rebbe Akiva Afilu Mala Me'asara. That Rebbe Akiva would even hold that one is chayev if you throw it above 10 tefachim. V'haydik Tani Rishus HaRabim Atzma. But if so, then why did the Brisa say Rishus HaRabim Atzma, which seemed to imply that it was within 10 tefachim of the ground? Lodiach Hakochan D'Rabbanan. This is to tell us the strength of the Rabbanan's position, which means that they would say that you're pater even if the object was thrown within 10 tefachim of the ground. So now it's a more extreme machlokas where the Rabbanan would say you're always going to be pater, and Rebbe Akiva would say you're always going to be chayv, whether it's above or below 10 tefachim. Now the Gemara goes in further notes and says, "Upligid Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi." And this conclusion of Rav Hamnuna, and the machlokas is only within 10 tefachim, also goes against Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi. Damar Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi, toch shlosha divrei kol chayv. That everyone agrees that within 3 tefachim of the ground, everyone agrees that you're going to be chayv. Umala me'asara divrei kol pater. And when it's above 10 tefachim, everyone agrees that you're going to be pater. Mishlosha v'ad asara, but between 3 tefachim and 10 tefachim, that's where banu l'machlokas Rabbi Akiva v'rabbanan. This is where the machlokas comes. Within 3 tefachim is the concept of lavud, and that's why you would certainly be chayv. Above 10 tefachim is no longer rishus HaRabim, but the holy machlokas is from 3 to 10. So this shita of Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi is definitely against Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar said there was a machlokas in every case, as opposed to this shita of Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi. Says the Gemara, though, Tan Nami Yachim, we have a brisa that also taught like this with in the shita of Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi. But so shosha de v'rakol chayv. Within the 3 tefachim, everyone holds you're going to be chayv. L'malam yasara eino ela mishum shivos. Above 10 tefachim, everyone agrees you're not going to be chayv midor reis. It would only be nisr midor rabbanan, and that's the problem. And we would need an Erev Chatzeros in order to go ahead and carry between them. V'mayu Rishu Yoshelo Mutter. But if both of these Rishus HaYachids belong to you, then it is Mutter for you to throw from one to the other, because they both belong to you, as long as it's above 10 Tfachim of the Rishus HaRabim that it's going in between. Mishlosha Ava'ad Asara. But when the object is thrown between 3 and 10 Tfachim, Rabbi Akiva Mechayev HaChacham Potron. Rabbi Akiva says you're going to be Chayev, and the Chachamim say you are going to be Potter. Now the Gemara picks up on this price we just quoted and gets into a bit of a tangential point. Amar Mar, we said previously, Mayu Rishuyo Shalom Mutter, that if both of the Rishus HaYachids belong to you, then you are going to be allowed to throw from one to the other, as long as you're throwing it through the Rishus HaRav at a height above 10 Tfachim. Lame Tavituf to the Rav, this seems to go against the Shita of Rav. I did Mar because it was said, Shnei Batim B'Shnei Tzidei Rishus HaRav. If you have two houses that are on two opposite sides of a Rishus HaRav, Rav Abar Rav, Huna Amar Rav. So Rav says, Asr Lizrok Mizeh Lezeh, that it's Asr to throw from one roof to the other, from one Rishus Yacha to the other. Shmuel Amar Mutzer Lizrok Mizeh Lezeh. Now, this seems to be a case where both houses are yours. Otherwise, of course, you're going to need an Erev Chatziris or something in between. And still, Rav says that it's going to be Asr. So how can we possibly say that it's going to be okay to throw if they're both yours? So comes the Gemara and answers, V'lav mi yukim nalai yikigon demidle chad umitate chad dezim ninafav asiratuye. Now we're talking about a case where both of these roofs that are yours, they're uneven. So one's higher than the other, and therefore when you're throwing it, you're going to try to throw it with great precision, and we're afraid that maybe it's going to fall into the Rishus HaRav. You're going to go and pick it up, and then you're actually going to go violate Yisurim. That's why we say that it's going to be usher in that situation, but it's not necessarily going to be a stira. Now comes the Gemara and gets into the source of this concept of lava that we mentioned, that anything within three tefachim of the ground is considered as if it's ground. This is a very important halacha that permeates Hilchos Shabbos, Erev, and Sukkah, and a lot more. And we'll start with this tomorrow. This is Daf Tzadi Zayin Amar Alef. Everyone should have a wonderful, wonderful day.